Good morning. It's great to see each of you here this morning. Please stand and join us in singing Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Sounding joy. Joy, unspeakable joy, overwhelming well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy.
You can be seated.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us here this first Sunday of Advent. We are glad you're with us today. Just some quick reminders. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving handout takeout on Thursday. We had about 209 meals that were given out, so thank you to everybody that donated turkeys, helped donate desserts, or if you donated financially, or you helped Wednesday or Thursday, whatever the case might be, thank you. Without your help, we would not have been able to do the Thanksgiving takeout. So 209 individuals were blessed by our Thanksgiving meal. Also, just want to thank everybody that was a part of the Christmas decorating around here. As you look around, it is the first Sunday of Advent. We have our candles in the windows, Christmas tree up, nativity out, and we have our Christmas wreaths out. So thank you to everybody who participated and helped decorate to get us ready for the first Sunday in Advent today. Also, a reminder that this Thursday at 10:30, I'll be having our pastor's Bible study, and we'll be looking at the topic of seeing gray in a world of black and white. And so we'll be looking at some different topics and looking at Scripture and how they apply to those things. Also, just a reminder that right after the service today, will be choir practice for Christmas Eve. And if you haven't been to the first few ones, you can still join the choir. Everybody is welcome. So if you missed out and say, oh, I missed out, I can't do that, you can join today and practice today, and we would love to have you. It is the first Sunday in Advent, and that means that we are going to begin preparing ourselves for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with the lighting of the Advent wreath. And the reason we light the Advent wreath is a reminder for us all that in the midst of the darkness, that there is light. That in the midst of everything going on, that there is hope, there is peace, and there is love, and there is joy. And it allows us to have a visual reminder of who Jesus is. It gives us a visual reminder as we're preparing ourselves what we're waiting for in that anticipation on Christmas Day. So this time, if the boys would come forward as we light our first candle on the Advent wreath this morning.
Good morning. As we begin Advent season together, let us hear from the pulpit of Isaiah. Isaiah 9 through 2. The people walking in the darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the deep darkness, a light has dawned, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Praise of Peace, of Greatness of the Government. And peace there will be on no end. The risen on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and unholding with it with justice, righteousness, that time on forever. The result of our Lord will accomplish this. Now it's like the first candle of hope.
Thank you guys very much. And as we come together and we continue to prepare our hearts for Advent season, let us join in prayer. But just as we do that, just some individuals to keep in our thoughts and prayers. We want to keep Audrey Poff in our thoughts and prayers. She's not here today because she fell. And also Pat Wagner is not feeling well, so please keep Pat in your thoughts and prayers. Also Sally Lutz, as she's recovering from being in the hospital and as at home now, but be keeping her in your thoughts and prayers too. We also want to continue to keep Sally Draper in our thoughts and prayers, and Jim Walk as they recover from surgeries they had a few weeks ago. And we also want to be thinking about Jeanette Arnold and her daughter Shannon. Jeanette, I guess, went down to visit Shannon in Florida, and they were out riding bikes, and they were victims of a hit and run. And Shannon and both of them were taken to two different hospitals. Shannon is home now in Florida at her house in Florida. Jeanette is also at her house in Florida, but Jeanette evidently had to have surgery to put pins in her back. So Jeanette's going to be having a long road of recovery. So if you would please keep both Jeanette and Shannon in your thoughts and prayer, especially Jeanette, as she had to have pins put in her back from the result of this hit and run. They would greatly appreciate it. So send them a card, or call them, just let them know you're thinking about them. But Jeanette is down in Florida right now still with Shannon as well. So let us go to God and let us pray together. Lord, we come before you now and we ask, God, that you would just be with us in this time together of worship. That we're here because of you, and we're here because of coming and anticipating your arrival on Christmas Day. We're here, God, because of the hope that you give us. So God, pour your Spirit out on us here this morning in your presence as we come. And we honor you and we give you thanksgiving. Lord, we also want to be lifting this morning Audrey and Pat to your care, Lord, and Sally Lutz and Sally Draper and Jim Walken. We also right now want to lift before you Jeanette as she's recovering from having pins put in her back, that you would just be with her in recovery, God, and that you would just continue to be with the healing process there, as well as Shannon, God. And We just pray, God, that that they might find out who was behind this and just continue to be with them as they continue to heal from this tragic event that happened a few days ago. And we come and we give you thanks, God, just for being able to give out 209 Thanksgiving meals to our community, God, to bless individuals and to show them a little bit of who you are by being your hands and your feet this week as well. So we come now, God, and we ask that you be pleased with the worship we now give you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please stand again as we continue in our worship time, singing Angels We Have Heard on High. Can we start that again? I'm sorry. Let's sing Gloria. Here we go. Can we start over again, please, with that song? Sorry about that, guys.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strains. Christ our Savior was born on Christ.
John 1:1 reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God."
Let us pray together this morning. Lord, what a powerful name your name is. And we come before you and we claim that name here today in your presence. We pray, God, that right now that you would open our hearts and our minds and our ears that we might hear from you. We pray, God, that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O God. Amen. Well, welcome to the very first Sunday in Advent. It's hard to believe that it is here. It seems like that it was a long time ago. We were just in summertime. We were at the beach going swimming, taking vacations, and school started, and here we are now, the very first Sunday in Advent. Advent is probably one of the most amazing seasons of the entire year as we get our Christmas decorations out and we trim our trees and we hang our wreaths and put our lights out, that we're excited because all of a sudden we have something really to look forward to. Christmas is coming, and we're waiting for that. And that's what Advent is all about. Advent, and that word Advent is a Latin term which means coming, that it's coming. It's not here yet, but it's coming. And so the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at the theme of the star of Bethlehem and how that star can give us hope, how it can give us love, peace, and joy as we go through the Advent season. Advent season is a season of great expectation, and I'm glad that we're able to be here today in person to start that off together and to become together as a congregation and say, here we are ready, and we are anticipating the arrival of the Christ child who was born some 2,000 years ago, that we are here today to follow that same star that the shepherds followed and the wise men followed to lead them to Jesus, and that same star that will lead him to us today. It's a time in which we realign our expectations and our priorities. It's a time in which we begin to really experience the meaning of Christmas. It's a journey as we'll be exploring the different opportunities that God gives us each and every week during this time of Advent, a time of fresh joy, hope, and peace, a time that no matter what we're going through, that we can say that we can get through it. Our journey focuses on that star guiding over Bethlehem, and that is the central part of the Christmas story that so many times I think we lose sight of. We talk about the shepherds and the wise men. We talk about Mary and Joseph, but we lose sight of that star that guided everybody to that manger scene, that Christmas morn. That the wise men that was only mentioned in Matthew's gospel followed that star. And we're not sure exactly what the star was, and scientists and scholars will actually still debate to this day what star it was, what type of star it was, and how it stayed so bright for so long. The debate remains as far as where did it come from, how did it appear, and where did it go? I think it's important when we look at the aspect of the star, we need to keep something in mind that the star didn't shine bright for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and Christmas night. But most likely that star was shining bright for over a year, because when the wise men come and they find Mary and Joseph, they don't find Mary and Joseph at the stable. They find him when he's about a year old and present those gifts to Mary and Joseph. So the star was lit for well over a year as those wise men made their journey across the desert to find who Jesus was. It's hard to imagine because we think everything happened all in one night. We think everything just kind of poof, Christmas happened and that was it. But even after Christmas, it still was a journey for those wise men who were still seeking to find Jesus, that star that shone bright was a part of their journey and their story. So today, as we begin our journey together like the wise men, the shepherds, I want to encourage each of us to look for that light today, a light in which that we have a destination. And that destination is finding that Christ child and experiencing him and having a relationship with him. That destination is that when we find that Christ child, that it opens our eyes. It allows us to see who he is. Allows us to see who we are and allows us to experience God. That in a season where our culture is so hectic and so chaotic, that star, that light, can guide us, direct us, and give us hope. So no matter where you're at today, I want to invite you on the journey of Advent as we approach Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. That as we come, that we are part of that story, just like Mary and Joseph, just like that innkeeper who said there is no room, just like the king who was jealous, King Herod, when he heard there's another king that was born, just like the angels, the shepherds, and the wise men, that we all are part of that Christmas story. They didn't have all the answers. They didn't know exactly what's going to go on, but they went and they followed the star and were part of something great. Just how God wants it to be for us today, that he wants us to follow that same star so that we can continue to be a part of something great. We don't understand so many times what happens, and neither did the wise men or the shepherds, but they put their faith in that star, and when they found Jesus, their lives were changed. As we come today, are you looking for a glimmer of hope in your life? Are you looking just for one little speck of hope in the midst of everything you're going through right now? To step forward to that light, to help clear your vision, to see that there is hope in the world, that there's hope in your life. Will you join us as that journey comes and takes us to Bethlehem in a few weeks? Or is your vision cloudy right now? And it's really hard to see because of everything going on. A lot of us are already overwhelmed with a lot of things this Christmas season. Schedules, finances. We're overwhelmed with, well, how are we going to do Christmas? And where are we going to go for Christmas? And we're overwhelmed with just everything because Christmas is a time in which it can be joyous, but it's also a time that you can feel alone because of the loss of losing loved ones that were so close to us. That Christmas can be a mixed bag at times. It can be a time of joy and cheer and a time of sadness as well. But that is why we have that star to remind us of that hope that we have in the midst of those times. That we can come together and journey on that anticipation of hope this morning. But first, we have to acknowledge the darkness. We don't want to do that. We don't want to acknowledge there's darkness in this world. We always want to think and say, you know what? Darkness doesn't really exist. But folks, we have to realize that darkness exists in the world in which we live. I mean, just think about the news recently this week where there was a shooting in front of a Marine recruiting center. There was a shooting in a mall down in Durham, North Carolina. We just heard just the last few days about the new omnivirant variant that's out there and how individuals are beginning to shift their way of thinking. We begin to see things in the news and we begin to say, well, is there hope? It just seems like there's darkness all around. There is darkness. And sometimes that darkness can overtake us and we have to acknowledge the darkness around us. We have to acknowledge that, yes, darkness does exist. Because if we don't acknowledge that darkness exists, then that light will never pierce the darkness that we live in. If we try to ignore that darkness, we try to pretend it's not there, then Christ's light can never shine through us. Sometimes darkness needs to exist so light can shine. But we don't like acknowledging darkness because when we acknowledge darkness, it brings about fear in our life. The fear of the unknown. It brings about memories that might not be so joyful as they come back to mind. But we have to acknowledge the darkness, folks, if we want to have the light of Christ shine. We pretend it doesn't exist because we're afraid of it. We don't want to face it. And the reality is, if we're going to see that Christ child, if we're going to see that star that shone over Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago in our lives and in our nation and our communities, And we have to acknowledge it exists so that star can penetrate the darkness. I mean, think about it. If we didn't have darkness at night, we would never ever be able to see the moon or the stars. I think it's awesome at nighttime seeing the moon begin to rise up and seeing how bright it could be and nice clear nights just looking up and seeing the stars. But if we didn't have darkness, we wouldn't be able to see those beautiful lights that pierce the dark sky at night. Because you see, sometimes we need darkness in order for light to shine. It's amazing that God chose a star to guide the shepherds and the wise men to Bethlehem. That God used creation to guide them to Jesus. That he didn't go out and have a telegram sent out. He didn't have an airplane write something in the sky. He didn't proclaim in the newspaper, on this day, at this time, you'll find the Christ child wrapped in swaddling clothes. No, he used his own creation and that star to point us to Jesus. Psalm 19, 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard in them. Yet their voice goes out in all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. What is it that mankind, that you are mindful of them, human beings, that you care for them? You see, this time of the year, it's a time in which we can fill our lives with holiday glitz, with things that really are meaningless, or we can fill our lives with the things that matter, and that is with the Christ child, Jesus. You see, a lot of times Christmas is a way we try to distract ourselves. That we try to distract ourselves by being really busy by doing things. Whether it's decorating, whether it's volunteering, whether it's baking cookies, Christmas shopping, whatever it might be, that we try to find ourselves busy during this season to distract us so that we don't have to deal with the darkness that exists in the world in which we live. But as we come together this Advent season, we all need to be honest about the darkness that we each find ourselves in today. The darkness in the world and our lives. The darkness that exists that can be pierced by that light. The Bible is very clear that it says that when we look at the reading this morning from Isaiah that Tyler read, that it was a dark time for the people of Isaiah, a very dark time. They were in captivity. They were taken into Babylon, and they didn't know if they were ever going to be restored again. And you have Isaiah who comes before them, and Isaiah who gives them the message of hold on, hold fast, that in the midst of this darkness, that God has given us a light, and that God will restore us again. Now, when you look at Isaiah specifically, you'll find that this didn't happen overnight. That Isaiah was prophesizing to the fact of Jesus being born. But in the midst of that great darkness, they found hope because God spoke to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 7, when they were in captivity and it was the darkest of the dark days, God spoke and said, I will give you a sign pointing to Jesus' birth that you will find him and call him Emmanuel. That was prophesied in the Old Testament by Isaiah that the light of Christ would come and pierce the darkness in the New Testament. Isaiah was talking about that coming light in the present darkness. And that darkness continued to grow over the centuries for Israel. It didn't go away. That if you look at the Old Testament, they constantly were in darkness, constantly plunged back into darkness. That the darkness didn't go away overnight. Isaiah 9:2 says, The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of deep darkness. A light has dawned. Words spoken before Jesus was born. Words of hope and saying that it's bleak, it's dark, Israel, but guess what? A light will dawn in that darkness, and that light will pierce the darkness, and let's hold on to that hope, the hope of God's word, the hope of his promise, that we will find Emmanuel. The people of Israel live in that space between the promise and the fulfillment. Looking back, it's easy to see how the very first Passover, when God came to Egypt and the angel of death passed over the doorsteps, and if you had the blood marked over your door, that the angel passed over. That's why they celebrated the Passover feast, was because of the angel of death passing over the doorstep. It is really easy for us to see how that event foreshadowed the birth of Jesus. That even when they were living in dark times of captivity, that Jesus still was pointed to, and his birth was pointed to by the angel of death that passed over those doorsteps and saying that I'll give you hope. When the Israelites were in their houses not knowing what's going to happen, they had the hope of knowing that their door was marked, that they would be saved. They had the benefit of seeing that and looking back on that. They could see in Isaiah when they were in darkness that they could look back and see how God had worked. But now they also have something to look forward to, something to look ahead to, the promise of that Christ child being born. Today we share in that common experience too with them of darkness and desperation the way the Israelites did, in which nothing can rescue us but God. You see, that is the beauty and the journey of hope that we see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that in the darkest hour, guess what happens, folks? God shows up. Then the darkest hour, when you don't think it can get dark anymore, God shows up. That's what hope is, folks. That is the hope that we can continue to draw on, that no matter how dark it might get in our lives, that God is going to show up. Because that is who God is, that is what God has done, and is what God continues to do. And on that Christmas morn, God showed up. And he drew those shepherds and those wise men to Jesus the way he draws us today. You see, it's not an instant process. It's a journey. It's a journey for Israel in the Old Testament as they would go until they finally would experience the promise of Emmanuel being born. It was a journey for the wise men. It didn't happen overnight. That it took 12 months or more for them to find the Christ child. Because it doesn't happen overnight. It's not an instant process. It's a journey. But that's the hope we have. That's the hope that the wise men hung on to, was we're going to find this child. And we're going to hang on to the hope of knowing that when we find that child, we're going to find something really special that will change our lives. And that means we have to embrace the wait. Now here's a question for you. By a show of hands, I want to see how many of you would answer this. And that is, how many of you like waiting? Show of hands, anybody like waiting? None of us like waiting, do we? None of us like waiting. Because we were such in a culture where things are instantaneous and gratification given to us immediately that we don't like waiting. But that's what this process is about. It's about waiting. It doesn't happen all of a sudden. It's about waiting, embracing the wait. We have everything at our fingertips where if you can't find the store, you just go to Amazon. Amazon will probably have it. And you'll have it delivered at your doorstep in 1 to 2 business days. Because we don't like to wait. We want it here and now. In fact, you know, it's so crazy now that you go into restaurants or even fast food places and you place your order on a kiosk now. You don't even deal with people and your food gets delivered to you. You don't have to wait in line for your food anymore. You go sit down and it comes right to you now. McDonald's and other places. Because we don't like to wait. We want to make sure we're making good use of our time and energy because we only have a little bit of time in a day to get things done. Well, I can tell you that if we were living in the time of Isaiah, we wouldn't do too well because they had to wait a very long time. Since Genesis, we are reminded in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 of the fact of how the wait begins. And how, when we look at the aspect of Jesus coming, also goes back to Genesis chapter 3. If you remember the story of Genesis chapter 3, it is the story of how Satan tempts Eve, and then Eve gives the fruit to Adam. And it all started with a tree, folks, in the Garden of Eden, in which Eve took of the fruit and ate it, and then she gave it to Adam. And here he is, Emmanuel, being born, goes back to a tree as he was put in a stable made out of wood from a tree. Then from Genesis chapter 3 to Matthew to Luke's gospel, it comes back to Jesus being born in a tree to redeem us. There is a long wait, folks, from Genesis up until Jesus was born. A long wait. But Jesus came and he was born and had that hope for them. Imagine if you're a farmer and you're on the dry dust of a parched field and you look up in the sky and you go, I'm not sure what's going to happen. Years of drought have taken everything away from me. I've lost hope and this season's probably not going to be any better than last season. And then all of a sudden, in the distance, what does that farmer hear? He hears the promise of something he hasn't heard for a long time, and it's thunder clouds that are going to bring rain to help him in that drought. You see, we can look up and say, well, you know what, we're in a drought. But we have the hope of knowing that God's going to provide that thundercloud and pour down his spirit upon us like rain so that our droughts will be over and be filled and made new in his spirit. Imagine John the Baptist when he was asked, are you the Messiah? He said, no, I'm not, but there is one coming that is better than me. That he was announcing the arrival of Jesus that everybody was waiting for. That he said in the thunder in the desert, make straight the way of God because the Messiah is coming. That John was still saying, hope is here, hang on to it. Feels unnatural to wait. It feels unnatural to sit back and just kind of say, okay, well, we're tired of this. What's going to happen next? But God calls us to wait. Waiting for the hope to come in him. Apostle John described it this way in Revelation. He said in Revelation, after this I looked, and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, and the sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the offsprings of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You see, we are like Israel. We're in that space like they were, the space of waiting for the promise. We're in that space of waiting to be with Christ again. And that's the hope that we have in that waiting in the midst of things going on in our lives. That yes, we come, we celebrate Christmas, but yet we're still waiting. We still have the hope and knowing that we will see Christ again one day. And that is our challenge, to embrace the waiting of hope, to embrace hope and saying that there is still more to come. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the confidence in what we have hope for and assurance of what we do not see. You see, that's what Advent's about, the reminder of the confidence of knowing that we're going to sing a song right now. Thanks, John. We're just making sure everybody's awake out there. That's all right, John. The hope in knowing that this Advent season, that we have something to still hope for. Committing ourselves to the journey. Committing ourselves to saying, yes, Lord, I will be part of this journey. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, the minds that are on alert and fully sober, set your hope in grace be brought to you in Christ Jesus is revealed at his coming. The hope is an active thing. It's not just sitting back and saying, okay, I'm waiting and I'm going to cross my fingers and just kind of do nothing. It's not a passive waiting. It's an active waiting. It means that we are involved. We are still doing things, that we are like John the Baptist. It is an active anticipation that the good news will transform people's lives. That is the hope that is given to us. Psalm 31 says, be strong, take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. So many times we make Advent about a deadline. Well, we got to get the Christmas decorations up by this time, and well, then when Advent's over, we'll take them down by this time. And we make Advent all about a deadline, and we miss out on the fact that Advent's not a deadline, that Advent's a process, it's a journey, an active journey. It's not something where we check all the boxes. Got the Advent wreath up, Christmas tree up, wreaths are up, nativity up. Okay, I think we're ready for Advent now. That's not what Advent's about. Advent is living and being a part of things and actively participating in things. That's the reason that we have hope. That's the reason why we do what we do at this church. That's the reason we gave out 209 Thanksgiving meals. That's the why behind it. Because of Jesus, because we are supposed to be actively involved while we wait so that others can come alongside of us on this journey so that we can have that hope and knowing that we'll be with them again, that we can take people with us. You see, folks, it's not about us in here because, folks, we get it. We understand it. It's about the people out there that don't get it, that don't understand it, the people who are looking for hope, the people who are saying, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Why is there so much darkness around? The people looking for the light of Christ. Why do we exist? We exist for the people out there who don't know it, folks. That's why Advent is important, because it reshapes us and focuses us. That's why we do what we do. Because of the people out there that haven't got it yet. That's what hope is, folks. Today, we begin that journey of Advent together. Actively looking for God to do something in our lives. And then no matter what happens, and no matter what darkness we might be facing, knowing that God is not done and the best is yet to come. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow of hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. That is what Advent's about. Allowing the God of hope filling us with joy and peace, trusting him, so that we can overflow with the hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, folks, the star that was shining some 2,000 years ago now is the power of the Holy Spirit that's shining. The power of the Holy Spirit that wants to guide us and direct us, just like that star directed the wise men and the shepherds. But we have to allow that star to pierce the darkness of our lives in order for any of us to have hope.
Wow, that was a powerful message, wasn't it? Please stand as we sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Silent flocks by night.
We all face darkness at some point in time in our lives. And the people who don't understand, who are looking for hope, are going to look to us to see if we're allowing the light to pierce the darkness in our lives, to show them and point them to who Christ is. So as we leave today, let us go and let us tell it on the mountain, and let us tell other people about the hope that Christ gives. That 2,000 years ago was a star, and now it's the power of the Holy Spirit that guides us and directs us. That's the star that guides us today. May the grace and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen and amen.